We are in the middle of a series on following Jesus. We want to be followers of Jesus. What a great topic. What a great series of message. Because we are Christ-centered, Christ-focused. We are Christians that follow Jesus. Jesus is the center of our purposes. We are followers of Jesus. He's the center of our purposes. We are called. We are commissioned by Jesus. That's what we spoke about over the last couple of weeks. This series on Jesus has been in the book of Matthew. We've been following along in the book of Matthew on this topic of following Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, we should be resembling Jesus. We should be looking like him. You know, it's kind of funny. I had no clue what they were talking about in the youth class. I knew what they were doing this Sabbath because I was teaching the youth class this Sabbath, but I had no clue what the topic was, and I feel like it's right along the same line of topic, because we talked about being like Jesus today. We talked about how we're glorifying, that we're making Jesus, as Christians, we're trying to make him look good. We're trying to glorify him, be like him. When Jesus humbled himself, that's example to us, that we humble ourselves. So I find it interesting that our class was based on that kind of topic today. As a follower of Jesus, we should be resembling him. Jesus becomes the example of spiritual health for us. You can see on your screen, we're going to be talking about spiritual health, following Jesus. Following Jesus is spiritual health. Being like Jesus is spiritually healthy. Today I'm talking to you about becoming a spiritually healthy Christian. One outcome of spiritual health, being a spiritually healthy believer, is having a spiritually healthy church. One direct outcome of our church family being spiritually healthy is that our church as a whole gains from that spiritual health, that our church becomes healthier and healthier as we as individual believers become healthier and healthier Christians. So today I'm going to talk to you about the symptoms and the outcomes of that spiritual health. So let's open up our Bibles. If you have your Bible today, open up to Matthew chapter 12. If you have your Bible apps, or if you want to follow along on the screen, that's fine. I like having my Bible in front of me. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus, and we're going to be on verse 33 there. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. He's confronting some of the Pharisees, thinking he wasn't a fan. Jesus was not a big fan at all of the Pharisees, what they said or what they did. Jesus was not a big fan of those Pharisees. And you can see that again and again where he confronts their thinking, or he confronts what they're teaching, or he confronts what they're saying. So Jesus talks about their heart and their behaviors with this analogy of a tree and fruit. He says in verse 33, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by the fruit, by its fruit." The tree is known by its fruit. Good tree, good fruit. It's pretty simple. Good tree, good fruit. Spiritually healthy believers exhibit spiritual health. Spiritually healthy believers exhibit spiritual health. The leaf on the tree, you see the leaves on the tree, and thus, and especially the fruit, if you see the fruit on the tree, you see the leaves, you see the fruit, and if they look healthy, you know these are signs of a healthy tree, right? On the church property, we have a tree. I can think of one tree in particular, but we have some trees which have some dead limbs on it. How do you know that they're dead? Well, there's no leaves on it. There's nothing growing on that dead limb, that dead branch that the tree has. And in fact, it wasn't that horribly long ago that I cut down the remainders of a tree that the tree was dead. It wasn't growing anything that I recall. And eventually a storm blew through and knocked that tree half down. It broke it literally in half. And so I ended up cutting the rest of that tree down. We see no leaves on the tree. We see no fruit on the tree. It becomes pretty obvious that at least that part, whatever that branch is, there's a lack of life in that branch. There's a lack of life. There's something going on in that tree that's allowing that kind of lack of life in the tree. There are aspects of our lives which reveal spiritual growth. There are aspects of our lives as Christians which reveal our spiritual health and reveal our spiritual growth. There are aspects which also indicate the stuff that we're trying to hide. We try to hide it, but yet the evidence can be seen often. How much we try to hide it, we try to hide these areas and aspects of our life, ultimately there becomes some symptom, some sign of that behavior that people see. They can see there's something that's going on in our lives. They can see something. When something is wrong, people oftentimes can see it. If I see a man, a lot of times it comes out in the actions and the words that people use. If I see a man that is bullying another man, or if I see a man that is bullying a woman or bullying his wife, I know that there's something going deeper in that man, that there's something going on in his heart and in his life. Maybe he doesn't want to talk about it, but you can see his actions and you can see his behaviors and you know that there's something going on there. If I see a girl with a hoodie on, she's got her hair down and she's trying to hide her face, she doesn't want people to see her. She may just like feeling comfortable in a hoodie, and she may just like feeling comfortable with her hair down, but a lot of times that's a sign, that's a symptom that there's something going on. Something is hurting her heart. There's something that's going on deeper. These are low-hanging fruits that we can see. What we want to see in believers is the evidence of the work of Christ in our hearts and in our lives. We want to see that evidence of Christ. We want that to be our fruit. We want that to be the signs and the symptoms that people see. Jesus is in you. I can see it because of the words and the actions that you have that come out of your life. Jesus loves. And so we love. We begin to love others because we want to be like Jesus. And Jesus is at work in our hearts. And if Jesus is at work in our hearts, Jesus loves. And so we begin to love. Jesus was patient. And so we begin to be patient with those around us. That's a sign of Christ's work in our hearts. Jesus was very patient with the people that he even had a hard time with. He was patient with them. Sometimes he would just get right out and say, "You brood of vipers." But a lot of times Jesus was very patient with them, very long-suffering. We love because Jesus loved. We're patient because Jesus was patient. Our lives begin to resemble Jesus in every area of our life. People begin to say, they look at you, and your life becomes to resemble Jesus. They look at you and they say, "Hey, you go to church, right? You're a Christian, right?" Have you ever had somebody come up and say that to you? You ever had that happen? Oh, come on, guys. I've had it happen. I've had people come up to me and say, "You're a Christian, right? Or you go to church, right?" Usually at places I work at, and they know not to call me to go party with. And so they're like, "You're a Christian." "Yep, I'm a Christian." "How'd you know? How'd you guess?" They can see the fruit. At least I hope they see the fruit. That's my hope, at least in me. Go to church, right? Corrupted fruit. The verse there says that some of the fruit was corrupted. I'm not a fruit expert. I don't know if you're a fruit expert. I'm not a fruit expert. I don't know everything about trees or fruit. But I think it's something like malnourished. A malnourished tree, in turn, produces weakly, sickly-looking fruit. I think that's what happens. I'm not a tree expert. I'm not a fruit expert. But I think I've seen trees which have this kind of malnourished, sickly-looking fruit on it. I think that's the case. But I would think of it like this. If a person is known to have an unrepentant lifestyle, if a person's known to have this kind of a life that they live and people know it, then suddenly we decide to let them come to preach at church. What kind of message are you expecting from this person? Are you expecting to bring a good message, something that's going to nourish your soul, something that's going to build you up spiritually when you know that they have an unrepentant lifestyle? What do you expect from somebody coming and delivering God's word like that? I would question that sort of thing because the fruit reflects the tree. what causes the corruption in spiritual fruit. Something in the tree is corrupted. There's something wrong with the tree. It could be an internal secret in a person's life. It could be something that they're hiding from everybody, that is, or it could be an external impact that's happened in their life that's affected them. In the one hand, the person is secretly struggling, maybe with sin. Maybe they're secretly struggling with anger. Maybe they're secretly struggling with depression. And they don't want everybody to know about it, because if everybody knows about it, then they're going to talk about it. So they don't tell everybody. They hide this stuff away. They're struggling. They have a struggle in their heart that nobody knows about. But yet you see it. Their siblings, their family, they often get the brunt of it. People experience what the outcome of a heart that's been hurt, of a heart that's struggling. A different example is one that's given to the Pharisees. The other example is one that Jesus was giving, and that is pride. The Pharisees struggle with pride, which is obvious because it's recorded how they spoke and how they treated Jesus. And so we see his pride in their lives. Well, what kind of fruit are you expecting from the Pharisees? Jesus often confronted them. Do you expect anything less when you have a group of people that are dealing with pride in their heart and in their life? The external problems are another deal. External problems bring abuses and often bring frustrations in a person's life, things that nothing that the person could do on their own to cause those problems, but the abuse, the frustrations came externally into their lives, which then come out in similar behaviors. Perhaps the person is downcast. Perhaps the person is responding in anger. Perhaps a person is depressed. Perhaps a person, you can see that they're struggling in the same fashion or form. But in the one hand, maybe it's something that is internal. And the other, it's external. But either way, you see the fruit come out of it. The corrupted tree and the corrupted fruit can be seen in the church. When we see Christians not treating each other the way they should, Christians not talking to each other the way they should, when Christians fight with one another, when you see church splits because they can't get along, that sort of thing. We start to see those kinds of corrupted fruits come out, you know, splitting over the color of carpet because they can't get along, they can't love each other the way they're supposed to. What is the answer? It's complicated, as internal and external problems are not easily fixed. There's no quick fix to those problems. However, it needs to begin with Jesus. It must begin with Jesus. Receiving his blood shed for us. Receiving what Jesus did by dying on the cross for us. Receiving his love. Receiving his healing. Receiving his forgiveness in our hearts. It must begin there. Yes, the answer is complicated, and we're dealing with people that have very real issues, internal and external, but it's got to begin with the love and the forgiveness and the blood. We sang about the blood of Jesus. It must begin with the blood and the love and the forgiveness that Jesus provides us, that forgiveness he gives us in our hearts, his Spirit transforming our hearts, changing us, changing the way we think about ourselves, changing the way we think about others. Must begin with Jesus. Spiritual health can be seen in the life of a believer. Yet, Jesus focused specifically on one particular sign. You can see it in the, if you got your Bibles open, you can see what he says next here in verse 34. One sign of that spiritual health. Words. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers. I just got done telling you Jesus had a lot of patience. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But he spoke what needed to be heard when he needed to speak it. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What goes in is what comes out. Spiritually healthy believers have healthy speech. Your words and actions speak volumes. Speak volumes. About what is going on in your heart. Speak volumes about where you're at spiritually. If you are walking with the Lord, it's going to be in your heart. If you're walking with the Lord, it's going to change and transform your heart and your life. And it will be in your mouth. And it will come out of your mouth. And it will come out in your actions. If you are walking with the Lord, people will see it. They'll see how you're walking with the Lord. They'll see the words that they'll hear the words that are coming out of your mouth. They'll hear when you're speaking positive things in their life, speak encouraging them, edifying them, building them up. They'll see that. They'll hear that. But what about Christians who get angry or get jealous? Well, that's a heart thing. That's a heart thing. And it does happen. Friends, you know your own struggles. You know what's going on in your own heart and in your life. And should not accept those behaviors and should not accept those things. If you're somebody that's prone to getting jealous against other believers or against other people, if you're somebody that's prone to outbursts of anger, that's a heart thing. That's something that we need to be analyzing in our own heart, in our own life. What is going on in your own hearts? And we shouldn't accept that kind of behavior. You know your own struggles. After all, God doesn't care for lukewarm. If we begin to accept those kinds of behaviors, if we say, you know what, I just get angry, I just have a struggle with anger, and you know what, I can't deal with it, so God's going to have to love me through it anyways. If we say, I'm just jealous, and you know what, God's got to love me through it anyways. If we accept these kinds of thoughts and behaviors in our life, in my thinking, and this Paul right here is thinking, that's lukewarm. That's accepting the status quo. That's saying, you know what, I'm just going to accept it and move on. God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to be on fire. He says, be hot or be cold for me. Don't be lukewarm. When we just say, I'm going to accept this is just the way it is, we're being lukewarm in that very moment. You get it. Sometimes it comes out on its own. It does sometimes. Yeah, I get it. I do understand. It does sometimes come out. Sometimes we get upset. Sometimes I get upset. Things just don't go the way it's supposed to go, and I just get upset about it. Sometimes it comes out. I get that. We don't mean to. This is a part of the Christian growth experience. We're growing up as Christians, and so we're going to wrestle with these things. We're going to have a heart. We're going to get upset. We're going to get, you know, we're going to work through these emotions. God gave us emotions, so we're going to work through them. The part of growing up as Christians and is learning how to deal with those frustrations, learning how to deal with those feelings, learning how to deal with our emotions. And sometimes, I get it, sometimes you choose to let it out. I understand the desire to let loose those feelings. But I hope, friends, I hope you see how it affects others. I hope you see how it affects your friends. I hope you see how it affects your fellow Christians when you do. We shouldn't remain lukewarm. We shouldn't remain baby Christians. We should be growing on our faith. We should be growing our walk with the Lord. And to just accept that that's the way that we are, that's lukewarm. That's not growing in our faith. We need to work through those emotional problems. Allow the Lord to work in our hearts. The question becomes, what are you treasuring? Verse 35 says this, Matthew chapter 12, again, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And he goes on, an evil man out of an evil treasure. A good man out of a good treasure, an evil man out of an evil treasure brings forth evil things. I have on my desk, I have a little desk at home, I have on that desk a heart-shaped box. And my youngest son painted on the box for me, so I keep it on my desk. And I put little treasures into it, things that I value. No, I don't put money in it. I what I put into is like, you might be surprised what I treasure. What I put into it is like guitar picks. I put some anointing oil. I have some bottles of anointing oil in it. I have these small little things that I treasure. I put my wedding ring into it. When I take my wedding ring off for whatever reason, I'll put it in my heart-shaped box. These are things that I treasure and that I don't want to lose. I want to hang on to it. They're important to me. I put my tie clip in there, believe it or not. It's one way I try to hang on to my tie clip. I think it's important. These things are things that I personally value. Inside your heart, if you had a heart-shaped box inside your heart, if you can imagine that, if you had a heart-shaped box inside of your heart, what are things that you would put into it? What are those things that you treasure, that you value? What would you put inside your heart-shaped box if you had a heart-shaped box in your heart? From the treasure is what you bring out. What you bring out comes from what you treasure. What you are treasuring, what are you treasuring, and what are you storing up in your heart? What is going on in your heart? That is what you tend to bring out. Things that you are storing and treasuring in there. Is it the love and the grace of Christ that you're treasuring in your heart? Is that what's going on in there? Because that's what's going to come out. If that is what you're treasuring, the love and the grace of Christ, His forgiveness, His love for you. If you treasure it, then that's what's going to come out of your heart. Is it His Word? Are you storing up His Word in your heart? In those difficult times, when you need something from the Lord, it's often His Word that comes to your mind. But that's only if you're treasuring it, storing it up in your heart. If you're learning it and meditating on it, that's what comes out. Is it the love and grace of Christ? Is it His Word? Is it songs of praise? Do you treasure songs of praise? These worship songs that we sing, are they a treasure to you? Do you find yourself at times just whistling to these songs? Do you find yourself at times humming them or singing them on occasion? Why? Because there's something that you treasure that's in your heart. They're important to you. You treasure them. You treasure them. And when you treasure it, that's what comes out. Or is it everything else in the world? Is it something in the world that you treasure? In youth class, we talked about, or we took a quiz, and on one side of the quiz there were do you know the names of people that these actors or these people, pageant winners and stuff like, do you know these names? And on the other quiz, we take a second quiz, do you know the names of the people who have impacted your life, people who have encouraged you, people who have spoken to your life, who have modeled Christ before you, this kind of thing? And of course, the answer is, it's so much easier to remember the people in the second quiz. Why? Because they impacted you more, and consequently, you treasure what they spoke into your life. You treasure them a whole lot more. They're more important to you. Those treasures can get you through the darkest nights and days. Those treasures can get you through by reminding you of those great treasures. They keep you moving on. Those treasures are what you desire to talk to others about. They're what you desire to talk to others about. That's what's important. You want to talk to others about those things. Those are the words that we use as Christians. What's in your heart? What is it that you treasure? Being a spiritually healthy Christian. So your spiritual health can be seen. Your spiritual health can be heard. And Jesus points that out. Being a spiritually healthy Christian is the goal. This, in turn, leads to a spiritually healthy church. A spiritually healthy church is one of the outcomes of having spiritually healthy believers. The Apostle Paul is speaking about unity of the body in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. He's talking to the body about unity, that we're to be a unified, a body that is in harmony as a body. And he says this, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Healthy and growing and full of love. That is the church, a healthy and growing church and a full of love church. That's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of a healthy church. I want to be a part of a growing church. And especially, I want to be a part of a church which is full of God's love. That is a beautiful church, an exciting church. A church that has God's Spirit working in it, bringing about that kind of health and growth and love, all a part of God at work in our church. Today, I declare we are that church. I believe we are that church. I see God working in your hearts and in your lives. I see a church that loves each other. I see a church which is growing, not always numerically, but we're growing together. We're growing in Christ. We're growing spiritually. I see a church which has God's Spirit at work on it. And I love that. I love that. The body represents the members of the church. He talks about the whole body fit together. He's talking about the members of the church, talking about you and me and all of us being a part of that body. You are the members of that body. So the body represents the members of the church. You are the body working together with each other. You're working with one another, the body in harmony with itself. Each part, he shows us, each part has a part to play. Everybody in the body has their part. There's nobody in this church, and there's nobody in the body of Christ which is somehow has no part in it. Every part, every person, every member has a role in the body of Christ. God can use each and every one of us to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to speak into each other's lives, to love on each other. We're all a part of that body, engaged in that body. Maybe your part is music. Maybe your part is bringing a message. Maybe your part is teaching. Maybe your part is loving and caring for the body. Maybe your part is reaching out to those that are not here with us today. Maybe your part is calling them up and praying with them, lifting them up. Maybe you're an encourager. No matter, you are a part of that body and you play a part. God can use you in this body. Each part and member is engaged in the health of the church. The way that a church can become healthy is through you, through all of us. We are all a part of that health and growth, the spiritual growth, even the numerical growth. We're all a part of that. Even those that are watching on YouTube, you are a part of it, a part of the health and the growth of the church body. Spreading the love of Jesus. I've been tagging that at the end of my emails because I believe that's what we're called to love God, to love each other, and to do what? Spread the love of Jesus. Every one of you is called to spread the love of Jesus. There is no one here, no one watching, which is not called to be a part of that mission of spreading Jesus' love. I would say love is so important that when we have visitors, we should love bomb them. Don't feel guilty because you show visitors love. That's a part of what God has called us to do. Love those visitors. Love each other. It's part of our job. That's the church mission and movement right now. Love God. Love each other. Spread God's love. Everyone's mission. It helps when we do this, when we have that health, that spiritual health when we're all a part of the spiritual health of the body of Christ, it helps the other parts to grow. See that in the verse. It says, it helps the other parts to grow. We are growing spiritually through God's Word and through God's Spirit, but friends, it's not just for ourselves. When we grow spiritually, it's not just so that we can feel good with Jesus. And I love that we feel good with Jesus. When we're growing spiritually, we feel excited about Jesus. We love when we grow spiritually. It feels good. But it's not just for ourselves. We are to help and encourage one another in each other's spiritual growth. If you're growing spiritually, help someone else to grow spiritually. It's not just for ourselves. If you are growing, if you are healthy in Christ and feel like you're healthy in Christ, help each other to be healthy in Christ. Don't let anybody drag behind. Bring them along with you. Pray for them. Encourage them. Teach them. Teach them God's word. I'm encouraging you while God is encouraging me. And if God is encouraging me, that's especially a good reason to be encouraging you. If I grow, but I let you shrink back, if I'm growing spiritually and God's bringing me along in his word and bringing me along in my prayer time, but I see you shrinking back in your Christian walk, friend, I have failed you. Our spiritual growth is not independent growth. But we grow as a body. We grow as a church. We grow together. It helps the other parts grow. A spiritually healthy church is what God wants. Spiritual health and fruit is what God provides. We see that in his word. God provides the spiritual fruit. His spirit gives us the spiritual fruit. Adding to the health of the church is what he wants us doing as a body together. James, the leader of the Christian church in Jerusalem, and in the book of James, encourages people to show their faith by their works. The book of James, he encourages us to show our faith by our works, and especially by works of meekness. This is the wisdom from God, he says. This kind of wisdom that our Christian life should resemble what we believe. James calls that wisdom from God. He says that envy and strife, which tear down the church, are not from God above. That's selfish. That's self. That's pride. And he says in James chapter 3, verse 17, good. This is verse 17. He says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Good fruits! Wisdom from above, James tells us. God above is actively involved in your spiritual health as an individual. He's actively involved in our spiritual health as a church. God is a part of it. He's pouring his fruits into us as individuals and as a church. We call it spiritual fruit. We know that passage from Galatians chapter 5 oh so well. But here he calls it spiritual fruit in this passage right here. He calls it spiritual fruit because it comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from God. God is investing in the church. God is pouring into us individually and as a church. We call this spiritual fruits. He's invested in us. We have been talking about healthy trees. I've been talking to you about the fruits of those trees. The idea is that when God is at work in us, you will become that healthy tree. When God is at work in you, you will become like that healthy tree that has the good soil, that has the good roots, that has God nourishing your life, filling your life, the good word in your life, being in his word, allowing for his word and his spirit to nourish you. You're like that healthy tree with the healthy branches and the healthy leaves and the healthy fruit. The fruit will be healthy too. I believe that if the tree is healthy, the fruit will be healthy. Fruit which is developed by God's Spirit. Fruits, as we see in this passage, of love. Fruits of peace and love. Of gentleness. Fruits of mercy. Paul doesn't have to come out every single time and give us the entire list when he's talking to us about stuff. We see in Galatians, he has a much longer list in the book of Galatians regarding fruits of the Spirit. Here, he's a little bit more of a snippet, more of a summary, but it's the same spiritual fruit that we see. Fruits of peace in our hearts and in our lives and in our church. Fruits of love in our hearts, in our life, and in our church. Fruits of mercy. Fruits of gentleness in our hearts and in our lives. And in turn, we see those same fruits in our church, in us and in our church. We see what God is doing. And it has been pointed out, as I pointed out earlier, this is not just for ourselves. We want these fruits in us. We want to see God at work in us. We want that peace. We want that gentleness. We want that in our own hearts and in our lives. But we want others treating us that same way. So we want to see it in others as well. It's not just for us. We want it for the whole body, for the whole church. We want others to be experiencing that. We want to be doing as unto others as we want them doing unto us. We want those fruits in us, but not just so that we can feel fruity, but so we can share those fruits with others. Not just so that we can feel that way we have peace in our hearts, but so that we can be expressing that peace. Not just so that we can feel that love in our hearts, but we can be expressing that love. Not so that we just feel God's mercy in our hearts, but we too in turn are merciful to each other and gentle with each other. Imagine you're carrying in a bag, you're carrying the cure for a virus. You have this in your bag and you're taking it with you and you start to think, I want this for myself. This bag is mine. I'm not going to share this bag with anybody else. Imagine you have the cure for the virus in your bag. People have this virus and you're saying, it's mine, all mine. Can you even imagine that? No, you want to share that virus with you don't want to share the virus. You want to share that cure with others. Yes, I say the wrong thing too sometimes. We have a cure for the world. I want you to pay attention to this really closely. We have a cure for the world. The world needs God's peace. The world needs God's love. The world needs His mercy. It needs His truth. And God plants this in you, in me. And we have those fruits that He develops in our hearts and our lives. We have the cure. We have exactly what the world needs that Jesus gives us and we can share with others. In verse 18, we see that the fruit is an investment towards a better, stronger church sown in peace by those who make peace. But I like how it says in the Message paraphrase. Read verse 18 here with me or follow along as I read it. You can develop, it says, a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. I love how the Message says that. I love that. That is what God wants for our church and all churches, a healthy, robust community, a church of people that's alive, a church that's alive in Christ, not a church that's dying, but a church that's alive, robust, healthy, spiritually healthy, everything we talked about today. And it begins by putting this into practice. It says, do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity, treating each other with honor, showing that love, showing that respect to each other, expressing the fruits that God puts in your heart, that spiritual health, what God is doing in you, bringing you along, We're expressing that to each other, doing that for each other, loving each other, caring for each other, uplifting each other. A healthy spiritual life can be seen, it can be heard, as Jesus points out, and it is the driving force that brings about a healthy church community.